Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. It is Friday afternoon, just after 3 o'clock. Chad Hershberger sitting in the producer chair today for Sean Carey. Sean taking a couple of days off this week. Glad to be here with you. And Steve will be in shortly in the Sunbury Motors studio. And it is going to be a busy Friday. Lots of stuff to talk about. There's some kind of basketball tournament going on, I believe. And we will keep you up to date on all the action that's going on in the NCAA tournament right now in March Madness for this year. And of course, you can connect with the show in various ways. Go to Facebook, check out the Steve Jones Show on Facebook, where you can get updates. Make sure you check out our website, thestevejonesshow.com, not the Steve Jones Show, but just stevejonesshow.com. And there's where you can get the podcast after this show airs every weekday afternoon. You can listen to it. And if you miss it on the air, you can listen to it on the podcast page on the Steve Jones Show website. You can also get it on Apple or Google Play, and you can do like I have done. You can subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast on your device. I have an iPhone, so in the podcast app on the iPhone, it just gets downloaded right to the app, and I can listen to it anytime I want to. So it is on March the 9th. March Madness is going on right now. We've got a couple of games going on. Texas Tech and North Kentucky in the West region. Their game is in the second period. Texas Tech is leading 53-38 right now. Let's see. Other scores from today at halftime. Kansas State, the number 4 seed in the South region. They are tied with UC Irvine. That game is tied at 30 all. It's a final. Iowa beats Cincinnati 79-72. That also in the South region. And we got a game that's going to be coming up here soon. Virginia's going to take on Gardner. Let's see here. Let me refresh this. Gardner-Webb. That's coming up in just about 3 minutes in basketball action. Other games. Let's take a look at the scoreboard here. As my computer decides to do its thing, we will get you those scores in just a second as we take a look at what's going on in the tournament today. And for some reason, this is not refreshing. We'll get that working and we'll give you some updates. But basketball. March Madness is here, and it's a fun time of the year for those who like basketball and just like sports in general. One of the things that I think is fun about the tournament this time of year is you just never know what is going to happen. You have underdogs who might just surprise you, and of course sometimes there are some blowouts, but you never know what's going to happen in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Some other finals for you. We have Oklahoma defeating Ole Miss. Oklahoma was a number 9 seed. They defeated Ole Miss 95-72 today. And another game coming up about 4 o'clock this afternoon. It's going to be Arizona State and Buffalo. That is in the West region in the tournament. So that keeps you up to date here on men's action in the NCAA tournament here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It is the Steve Jones Show. We've got a couple of guests lined up for the show today. We're going to be hearing from Paul Alexander and getting some insight from him. Paul is, of course, very knowledgeable in sports, and we'll be talking to him and also Brian Tripp. That's coming up as well. And, you know, you waited all week for it. We have Steve's brother calling in just after 4:35 right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And we'll be able to hear what he has to say and give his take on the NCAA men's basketball tournament. So you want to keep it tuned to hear Kevin Jones' predictions that coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're going to take a break, and we will check in with you, and hopefully Steve will be in the studio then, and we will be right back after this here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Good afternoon. It is the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Chad Hirschberger sitting in the producer chair for Sean Carey, who is off today. And, of course, it's the NCAA basketball tournament that is going on today. And lots of games going on. Again, let's run down some of those games that we have had so far today. Iowa was a winner over Cincinnati. Final score there is 79-72. Oklahoma won big over Ole Miss, 95-72. Those games have been completed today. We have a halftime score for you now. UC Irvine and Kansas State, they are tied up at 30. That's in the South region in first round action this afternoon. And Tennessee and Colgate just underway. And Tennessee has gone to an early lead over Colgate. They're the number two seed in the South region. Score there 13-8 right now. Some other games are coming up. We've got Virginia over Gardner-Webb. That's coming up any time now. That'll get underway. That's in the South region. And Buffalo and Arizona State, they're slated to tip off at 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. And Buffalo, number 6 seed, Arizona State, the number 11 seed. So those are the six games that are going on right now or have completed already this afternoon in the first round of the NCAA tournament. As I said, we have a couple of guests coming up today on the Steve Jones Show. Paul Alexander will be in. Steve will have a conversation with him. Hi, Steve.
Yes. Chad, great to have you here today.
Good to be here. There's some kind of basketball going on today, I understand.
Yes, and wrestling. Lots of wrestling. Penn State's had a perfect day so far. They have six semifinalists. The semifinals are at 8 tonight on ESPN. Finals are tomorrow at 7. But they have six semifinalists.
It's pretty impressive.
Just amazing what they've done. I want to get everybody up to date all the way through as to what has happened at the wrestling championship today, so everybody has a complete feel for what's going on. Let's start. Let's see. We'll get to the... I guess we'll just go... Yeah, let's go. Team result, Penn State 80, Ohio State 66.5. That'll be updated after the consolations are over with. So they've got a huge lead. Oklahoma State's third, Iowa's fourth, Michigan's fifth. So now let's get to the individuals. Let's start with Bucknell, okay? Let's at least be fair to what's going on there. Zach Hartman finally did lose. Zach Hartman won his first two consolation rounds and then was beaten 11-8 by Justin Thomas of Oklahoma at 157. And Drew Phipps of Bucknell lost in the second round of consolations, major decision 17-4 to William Mikolas of Iowa State. So that's the Bucknell story. So now let's get to the Penn State story, which is expected to be spectacular and is. Roman Bravo Young has won twice today in the consolations. His last one was over Ben Thornton of Purdue, winning 3-1. So Roman Bravo Young's still alive. Nick Lee is in the semifinals. He won his quarterfinal today over Max Murren of Iowa, 4-1. Brady Berge is now out of the tournament. It's the first elimination for Penn State in the tournament. Brady Berge was just beaten by Thomas Thorne of Minnesota in sudden victory. Final was 4-2. So Berge's out. So that is the first loss. Jason Nolf, as expected, goes to the semifinals. Won by a technical fall. Christian Pagdilio of Arizona State won by a tech fall. Vincenzo Joseph. I watched this one, Chad. This was unfortunately, for the sport of wrestling, was a paint dry moment. Let's watch the paint dry. Nothing happened for 7 minutes. In sudden victory, though, Vincenzo Joseph won. So he's in the semifinals. So look, this is all results based. So, you know, style points don't matter. So Joseph's in the semifinals. Mark Hall beat Taylor Lujan of Northern Iowa, 5-3. He's in the semifinals. Shakur Rashid, his tournament is over. Dakota Gear of Oklahoma State beat Rashid 4-2 in the consolation, so it's over for Shakur Rashid. Just want to make sure about that. Yeah, he'd be done. Bo Nickel won by major decision over Nathan Traxler of Stanford, 14-4. He's in the semifinals. Anthony Kassar, major decision over Trent Hilger of Wisconsin, 4-0. He's in the semifinals. So six semifinalists, and Roman Bravo Young is still alive in the consolations. So they still have seven alive with six in the semis. That is the story in Pittsburgh. And for Bucknell, their tournament is over. But that is the story. Now let's get to the NCAA basketball tournament story. Get everybody up to date on that. Because as Chad mentioned, there's a lot of hoops going on today. So in the NCAA tournament, some coaches are yelling. That does happen. Texas Tech leads Northern Kentucky 60-48 with 6:50 to go in the game. Kansas State leads Irvine 37-35 with 16 minutes to go in the game. Dean Wade is not playing. He's hurt. He's in a boot for Kansas State. He is not playing. Tennessee, Iowa won today. Big Ten's perfect so far. Iowa beat Cincinnati 79-72. They rallied in the second half. Luka Garza was terrific today. Oklahoma not only beat Ole Miss, they ran them out 95-72. So Oklahoma advances. Tennessee leads Colgate. Penn State, of course, beat Colgate back in December, and Colgate beat Bucknell for the Patriot title. Tennessee leads Colgate 20-15 with 8:46 to go in the first half. And Gardner Webb leads Virginia 6-4 with 15.5 minutes to go in the first half. And you know darn well that there all these people in Charlottesville are watching this on pins and needles because of what happened last year. Bryce Drew is out as the head coach at Vanderbilt. Penn State's going to play Alabama in basketball here next season, but Avery Johnson won't be coaching them. Sources saying that Alabama's negotiating a buyout with him. And Irvine just took the lead over Kansas State, 42-39. So there you go. I think we're up to date on everybody, right?
It's a light day in sports, right?
Yeah, light day. Yeah, very light day in sports. Uh, 40 times for Penn State players. Were solid on Tuesday. I mean, you know, like Miles Sanders didn't have to run his, neither did Ryan Bates. But how about DeAndre Tompkins? He ran a 4.31. So I'm standing off to the side, and he was so excited, Chad, about what he ran. He comes running over to me, and he whispers the number on my ear. He says, "Steve, I just ran 4.31. I'm like going, "Hey." He needed that. But Gil Brandt tweeted out, and you know how I feel about Twitter, but for the sake of it, a lot of fast times were run at Penn State football's pro day this week, making me think that nothing has changed there in the last 40 years. I once asked Paterno if I could drop a marble on the track to watch it roll downhill, and he told me to get the hell out. Well, here's the key with how that field is set up, just so you know. All right? It's always easy to take shots along the way, but I can tell you right now how it works. That field is, if you go left to right, if you walk in the building, you go left to right, okay? It is downhill. But the way the track is set up is just straight up and down. It's not downhill the way they run it. Okay, so if they were running it in a certain way, they would be running downhill, but not the way they had it set. The way the field is currently set up, it is not an up and down field. Just so you know. I know he's a Hall of Famer. I apologize for correcting him. Oh. All right. Let's see. Next half hour, we'll talk hockey with Brian Tripp. Penn State goes for the Big Ten championship, which brings with it the automatic bid, which I think they need. They're not in. They need it. They need to win it. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Next half hour, we'll talk with Brian Tripp, play-by-play voice, Penn State Hockey, Paul Alexander, 406, then the King. Chad, have you been exposed to the King on the show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
that answer tells me, yes, you have.
It is always a pleasure to have your brother on.
Oh, he has his own opinions, that's for sure. It's funny because, you know, all this hubbub about Izzo. Like, did our parents yell at the two of us when we were kids? Yes. And guess what? We loved them to death. And they loved us. It's all right. You can be yelled at and still be loved. You can't run your company. Now look, Mr. Suit, we need more sales. Sometimes a guy like that needs a little nudge.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I always love when the morning guy does a segment on sleep. Because they don't get any. Wonder how much sleep Mark gets during a week.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Honestly, it can't be. I mean, look, I did mornings, Chad, for 21 years. I work with some very nice people, but it's something I would never do again. I work with some very nice people that I enjoyed working with. But I can tell you in no uncertain terms, I will never do mornings again.
I know that when I fill in for Mark in the morning, it messes me up all week long.
It's just the way it is. I mean, I won't... I have no idea how many hours of sleep over 21 years I lost. So I'm sitting here now after doing a full basketball season. I didn't miss any basketball games this year. I missed only one last year, and that was because of the Fiesta Bowl. So I've missed one scheduled broadcast for football and basketball the last 2 years. So that would be what? Because you have to count the blue-white game, because it's still a game in terms of getting ready for it. So that's what, 14, 28, 38, 32, 70. That's 98 games. So I've done 98 of the last 99 broadcasts. I feel fresher now than I feel as fresh now as I did in August, because I've been able to get enough sleep. That's been the big part. I've been able to get enough sleep. It makes it, you know, the difference. If I were still doing mornings, because there were times, Chad, where I'd get back, like, say, from Minnesota at 2-3 in the morning, and then I'd be back at work at 5:30. Well, exactly how fresh are you going to be at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Now, probably there are people who listen to the show now for, we're in our 8th year doing this, and they're saying, he didn't sound fresh at all. He says the same stupid stuff no matter what. All right. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Get ready for the tournament this weekend. NCAA Summer Finals tonight. Finals tomorrow in wrestling. You want to stock up? Are you ready to go? All at Brewers Outlet. Maybe like wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, so we have the NCAA Wrestling Championship, 6 semifinalists for Penn State. They go tonight, I believe, at 8. It's on ESPN tonight, the semifinals. Finals are tomorrow at 7. 6 semifinalists tonight. The basketball continues tonight. We'll keep you up to date on the scores as we go through here. But also a Big Ten hockey championship that essentially is a play-in game for the NCAA's Penn State and Notre Dame tomorrow. The play-by-play voice of Penn State ice hockey, Brian Tripp. Brian, great to have you with us.
Is it the feeling that this is like a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, by definition it is, and the feeling is it certainly is as well. It's the same scenario for both teams. Penn State wins. They win not only a Big Ten championship, but a spot in the NCAA tournament, and Notre Dame's playing for the exact same thing.
Okay, just played them. Had a split, which was very close to being a sweep. So what is your thought, advantage-wise, what does Penn State have matchup-wise that's an advantage? What's the matchup advantage for Notre Dame?
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good matchup for Penn State. I thought even in the series that they played back in the state, Penn State could have swept that series as well. The matchup advantage for Penn State is they have the scoring depth. Notre Dame obviously does not score the way Penn State does. No one does. But in terms of depth of top overall scorers, Notre Dame gets a lot of its production from its upperclassmen. They have freshman Michael Graham. His main MO is that he scores on the power play. But scoring depth for Penn State, I know in the postseason they've gotten so much from Barrett Fulks and obviously Alex Limoges, but the scoring depth, their key advantage. Notre Dame, they're stout defensively. They're such a structured team. They don't take many penalties. They've had 11 power plays in the postseason tournament. The opponent has had only 4. They've only allowed 1 goal. But every time you play them, you're in a game. They've scored or less in 9 of the games. Now they have a winning record during that stretch. So they find ways to win tight games. So the advantage for them is if they can stay structured, they can give Penn State fits on their goalie, Cale Morris. The advantage for Penn State is if they can get the game up tempo and create their own opportunities, then you feel pretty good about what they have going on.
Cale Morris a year ago was a dominant figure in the sport. Mm-hmm. What year has he had this year and why?
Yeah, I think he's been probably not as good, but pretty close to it. I think in the beginning of the year, there were a few hiccups for Morris, and that's because they lost Jordan Gross defensively, who was good at hockey last year, and Jake Evans, who was their senior captain, a forward, and he was a two-way guy, really good for them. So they had a veteran team last year in front of him, and I think that supported him. As the year's gone on, they've gotten more comfortable. The guys, they're a very young team that they've bought into the scheme that Jeff Jackson uses. It's just such a structured team. So I think that's helped him. He's been really good in the playoffs. He's only allowed 1 goal so far. He had 2 shutouts against Michigan State. So I think this year, if you take out the games he's played against Penn State, his numbers were last year. But Penn State's had confidence now to go in and score on the guy. They have 16 games. So I think them getting over, my goodness, we're facing Morris, and just approaching it as their goaltender, has really helped them this year too. Because when you're going against the top goalie, oftentimes you'll try to pick spots, or you don't just get the puck to the net. You try to make the extra pass or the fancy play because you know more often than not he's going to make the routine save. And I've seen him this year against Penn State probably give up some goals that typically you would say that's one back. And I think that's a credit to Penn State, not worrying about who is in and playing against the team as if it was any unnamed or unknown opponent.
All right. The weekend against Wisconsin, it was 3 games in 3 days, albeit at home, but still 3 games in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
They've only played once since then. That was Ohio State. Pluses and minuses because it's only been a one-timer since that 3-day weekend.
Yeah, I think it's been a good thing because that three-day and three-game weekend was grueling. They needed the extra day last week, not having to play until Sunday because Ohio State's arena was occupied last weekend on Friday and Saturday, so getting that extra day helped them. And I think still to get those legs back then this week, only playing one game last weekend, that's an advantage for them. So I think overall it's a good thing this time of year. You're coming off a very emotional, hard-fought win on the road against the top team in the conference all year. So I think they're in a good spot physically right now, no worse than any other team this time of year in the sport of hockey.
Peyton Jones, what have you liked about what you've seen from the veteran? And he is a veteran now down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the guy that when the game situation is at its most critical or when your back is against the wall, he plays his best hockey. You'd like to think that all year he's a game, but there's something I'm in even more. I really like that in that with him, especially when game three went to overtime. There were some crazy bounces. I can think of one situation where the puck went off the glass behind his net and just took a terrible bounce right out in front, and that didn't rattle him. If the other goal, for instance, Wisconsin winning right. game one, the last goal was kind of a shot from the half boards that snuck through. That didn't bother Peyton. He came right back the next night and was great for Penn State. They need a big save. He came up with it. And at this time of year, something about the guy, he just rises to the... If he could play like this all year long, he probably wouldn't be in a Penn State uniform. That's how good he is.
Well, here's another part. It's easy to sit there and say, hey, let's talk about the defenseman. What kind of job have they done in front of him?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's the easy part. I want to go mm-hmm. to the forwards. What have they done? Because if you're going to get total commitment at both ends of the ice. So what kind of job have they done back-checking? What kind of commitment have the forwards had to playing defense?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. If you look at the block shot numbers for a guy like Alec Marsh 2 weekends ago against Wisconsin, they were huge. The forwards, the way Penn State plays, the other team always get some opportunity.
Sure.
It's just the nature of the way they... Steve, Ohio State had them hemmed in their trap. Man, it seemed like 5 period last week. And even though Penn State misplayed the puck, had trouble getting it out of its zone, I never felt like, and sure, Jones made some big saves, but you never felt like they got that great point-blank one-time shot where it was a guarantee the forwards were hustling back and clogging passing lanes. They're getting sticks in passing lanes, and they're blocking shots. The defensemen have, I thought the defensemen played their best year against Ohio State last week. Them winning battles, that's an area that when this team is on, you can tell because they're playing a 200-foot game, and that's even a guy, Alex Limoges, for everything that he's done scoring,
yeah.
50 points, tied for the lead in the entire country. His defensive game is just as important to the team as his offensive game, and I think you can see that commitment. Maybe it's just because their back is against the wall and they're playing desperate hockey, but that commitment is there, and the buy-in has come at the right time. They're playing very well.
They also have scoring depth. They have multiple lines that mm-hmm. can put on a lot of pressure on the opposing team. I feel like in some ways, they don't play it like this anymore. But Michigan State in basketball used to send four to the offensive glass because they had Mateen Cleaves or Charlie Bell back.
Yep.
Then eventually everybody else had to get back. If they weren't, they'd get yelled at. Right. But I feel in some ways Penn State, the way they attacked, I mean, who's that defenseman that you look at that, okay, Penn State's tilting the ice and then suddenly, boom, they come out. Who's that defenseman you like that's Mateen Cleaves out there that can defend it in such a way and kind of bail everybody else out?
Paul DeNaples, easy answer. The guy has been exceptional all year. He's plus 31. He He has bought in from day one to what the coaches want him to do. He is always in the right spot. He never panics, and he's just a perfect, and this isn't a knock on him, this is a compliment.
Yes.
He's a fit for the system. Mm-hmm. And the same, and he buys into the system, and that's what makes him so good.
Well, he helps make the system work.
Yep.
He's a reason why the system works. That's the compliment to him. He makes the system work. You know, and he probably is once or twice. So, no?
Okay.
It's going to be an Izzo thing all day.
Yeah.
Paul, don't do that again. Okay, coach.
Hey, honestly, you tell that guy one time, and he got
there are some it. Guys that are like that, that you tell them one time, and they get it.
He's just so coachable. It's incredible. I mean, coming into the year, and I think Guy would say the same thing. If you look on paper at who they had defensively, Kevin Kerr certainly has battled injuries during his career, but he's been around the block. Chris Mullery's been around. Cole Holtz they had high expectations for. Paul DeNaples was kind of an unknown, and I would say, at least from my perspective, pegging him before the year, maybe one of your bottom defensemen.
Sure.
There's a reason why he was a finalist for Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I think he's been a pleasant surprise and, quite honestly, a needed surprise because that was an area where they needed some help, and he's really shored things up on the back end. Really impressive year.
Right, and he's smart. I mean, he's really smart. Hey, look, and some guys, and you see this, some guys are really good in the ability to physically teach. Others are really good because they're visual learners, right, along the way. When you look at this team, for the most part, is this a team that can go through a skate and everybody pretty much gets it, or is this a team that has to visual learn because they need the tape badly?
I think they can go through and get it, but the thing with them, and I think with any hockey team,
it's
you got to have repetition.
It's an individual thing, though.
With Paul?
I mean, it's an individual thing. I talk about with everybody. I mean, everybody, the challenge of coaching is figuring out how somebody learns.
Yeah, I think that's where the culture, and you can see the culture in many aspects. The never quit aspect is certainly there, but the culture of the team's so good that honestly, these guys they actually do all enjoy hanging out. They're together all the time, and if someone makes a mistake, they're there to support them in coaching themselves on the ice. And I think that's where the culture comes in. And then if you look, maybe a guy needs to do a little extra video. Players or teammates will help him. If a guy needs some extra time on the ice, if you go after practice, Ludvig Larsson, they'll stay out there and do face-offs with whoever wants to do face-offs. Or a guy like Chris Funke, if you want to go get some shots on Chris Funke and it's 9 in the morning, Chris Funke will be there. If it's 9 o'clock at night, Chris Funke will be there to get shots. I think that's where the culture of the team's really strong.
I see these guys love to play. And, you know, in other words, if they could get a pickup game going on Sunday morning at 9, they'd be there.
Yeah. No, completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's that you can't put a price on that when guys love to play. What will be important against Notre Dame? What's going to be on your checklist?
Yeah, number one would play downhill and try to play with the lead. Try to tilt the ice in your favor early. Make them play from behind. If they get up by one, they're comfortable playing tight games. They're comfortable playing a close game tied or with a one-goal lead. They don't mind that. Their structure, their style fits it. So I think playing with a lead, especially early on the road, is good. And then playing discipline. You cannot give Notre Dame power plays because they are not going to give you power plays. They are an incredibly disciplined team. They're the least penalized team in college hockey. So if Penn State can stay close to even with them in penalties and power plays, you feel pretty good about that.
I always love this. They don't commit penalties. They don't foul. Then you look at, then you're watching the tape, and you're like, I'm not so sure that's true.
Well, once you get the reputation.
You got that right.
You got it. And Notre Dame has that reputation.
You got that right. That's what I was. What the game was it? Oh, it was Illinois. Penn State's playing Illinois in basketball. And I said, you know what? I said, I watch Illinois on tape, and they remind me of Michigan's football secondary. Mm-hmm. You can't call pass interference on every play. So you only go with the more egregious ones.
Because they hold and pull and tug
every
play.
Gosh. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want anybody from the Big Ten. Well, that's not true. Excuse me, I watch the tapes. Okay, I'm looking at the tape now. Is that a jersey?
Yeah, in all honesty, Steve, Notre Dame got to the championship game because they got a gift call against Minnesota in overtime.
Oh, I know.
And we're fair on the broadcast. I would never say that we're homers in any way. I think we try to give a fair judgment.
Well, no, this is the same approach that Jack and I or Dick and I take in football, basketball. If it's, you know, how many times have I said, you know, it's a back is against Penn State, and how many times you've done the same thing?
Yep.
That's the right call.
The officiating's been inconsistent this year in the Big Ten, and I would hope they do examine it after this year. I just hope they let the teams decide it tomorrow. And I thought that was a really good thing about the Wisconsin series when that game third period in overtime, they let the teams decide it. So I hope they let the teams decide it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the most important part. Overturns that shouldn't be overturned. Oh wait, did I say that? All right, we will. Brian, always look forward. It's my friend.
All right, soon we'll be on that golf course. See ya.
Oh, you got that right. I could walk out and slice right now.
All right, see you, buddy.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Tripp, play-by-play voice, Penn State Ice Hockey. Paul Alexander next half hour. We'll take a break, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show. Six semifinalists for Penn State at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. One still alive in the consolations. That's Roman Bravo Young. And on the NCAA basketball scoreboard, before we get the news at the top of the hour, it looks like this. Irvine leads Kansas State 63-59 with 4 minutes to play at the half. Tennessee leads Colgate 42-30. Gardner-Webb leads Virginia 36-27 with a minute 44 to go in the first. Is it happening again? Iowa defeated Cincinnati 79-72. Oklahoma beat Ole Miss 95-72. And Texas Tech advance by beating Northern Kentucky 72-57. Is it happening to Virginia again? They're losing by 9 with 90 seconds to go in the first half to the 16 seed. Wow. You would think if there was any team on the planet prepared beyond belief for a 1 versus 16, it would be them. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The pickle bar, led by the barrels and dills, indeed second to none. Paul Alexander, next half hour.